through the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the first and longest-running podcast in the gaming industry, now entering our 15th year. This week, the GGB Podcast features Brooks Pierce, the President and Chief Operating Officer of Inspired Entertainment, on the growth and potential of his innovative gaming technology company. Today's GGB Podcast is brought to you by GLI, staging its annual Regulators Roundtable this March 4th and 5th at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. Visit GamingLabs.com for information and registration. Inspired Entertainment got its start as a virtual sports gaming company serving up games for players who wanted the thrill of sports betting without having to wait for the actual games to be played. Today, however, Inspired reaches far beyond the virtual sports with products that land in casinos, betting shops, and online. Brooks Pierce has long experience in the gaming industry, particularly in slot manufacturing, and was brought in to expand the reach of the company, particularly in the U.S. He spoke with me at G2E in Las Vegas in October. Pierce, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Here we are, the last day of G2E. You're going to have a little gravelly voice here, I understand, so we can deal with that. But how's the show been for you?
It's been great. Thanks, Roger. I appreciate it, and good to see you again. It's been a terrific show. We had not only have we launched live our Valor cabinet in Illinois, which is a big moment for us. We had talked about it a bit last year. Yep. But we also had Jaromir Jagr at the booth, which created a lot of buzz. It was great. It created a lot of buzz.
I'm a huge hockey fan now with the Golden Knights here.
Exactly. You know, it's funny. A lot of people there were a lot of people lined up to get a picture with him and his autograph that were just local Vegas Knight fans. Yeah. So that created a lot of buzz, and we've done some interesting stuff with him. So far it's been great.
It's great. It's exciting. You had a pretty significant year since we last talked. Let's start talking about the acquisition of the Novomatic NTG company and what that means for Inspired.
Sure. We've been working on this for almost from the time I saw you last year. Yeah. And it's a really significant acquisition for us. It kind of doubles our size, mm-hmm. Both in terms of revenue and hopefully significantly more in terms of profitability. Mm-hmm. But we'll be adding a couple thousand new employees, which is always great. It's a really complementary acquisition. They're in the markets in the UK where we are not. Mm-hmm. We're primarily in the betting shop market, and their biggest part of their business is in pubs mm-hmm. and holiday parks and motorway services. Mm-hmm. But they also have a huge content development group, as do we, and we hope to leverage the combined skill sets of those kind of in markets all around the world. Yeah. So, yeah, a really significant thing for us.
So are these AWP machines or
No, they're what they call Category B3 in the UK. Uh-huh. Look very much like a VLT that you would see here. Mm-hmm. Some slightly different dynamics with the players in each one of the markets, so the content is directed specifically to those players. But at the end of the day, as it is in every one of these markets, the best games drive the highest cash box, and that's when people want to do business with you when you've got that.
Sure. And these are subject to the minimum, maximum bets and things of that nature.
Sure. Yeah, there's different categories of that. I mean, kind of the interesting thing in terms of the pub market, I'm not sure if you've been to a UK pub recently, but...
No, I have actually.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Great. Well, and you'll probably remember when you went into the pubs before, the predominant gaming device there was these analog fruit machines, as they called them. Mm-hmm. So what happened is there's really been a transition to digital and downloading content and refreshing games, mm-hmm. and that really is the core strength of Inspired. That's what we do in every one of our markets.
Sure.
So it was a really natural fit for us to kind of help what was the old Novomatic company, digitize the pub market and grow the cash box has grown significantly since we've done that. So we'll keep doing that and keep adding content. So, big moment for us as a company.
So can you go into other UK markets I know most of the pubs in UK are now chains. They're not very few standalone pubs left anymore.
Sure.
Can you make deals with those specific chains?
All the way across. Yeah. We do the both with the chains and with the smaller independent operators. Yeah. So it's an exciting market. When we were with Lorne and I were with Scientific Games years and years ago, we owned a company called Games Media, right. And that was really its primary focus was to try and go into that market. And it didn't work at that point. Mm-hmm. And it seems pretty clear now with how things are going and how positive it's gone that we just kind of were a bit ahead of our time.
Yeah, right.
But we certainly feel like now is a great time to be able to do this. And Novomatic was great through the acquisition. It wasn't really – they're still in the UK doing their kind of B2C business. Mm-hmm. But this felt like a good fit for us and a good time for them to dispose of this asset, and we're delighted.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So last year we talked about the virtual games you were offering in Pennsylvania.
Sure.
How is that going? And is there other avenues for growth for virtual games here in the U.S.?
Sure. So Pennsylvania is you know it's interesting virtual sports where everyone in Europe it's a fairly common thing everywhere you
right.
go and betting shops in Europe they know what virtual sports is. Pennsylvania is really the first market where we've launched this. And so there's been a learning curve,
right.
And it's in bars and taverns, whereas most of the markets where we are in Europe, there's an existing betting ecosystem. So people are going to a venue to bet,
sure,
and virtuals is just another product offering. So we've had a fairly steep learning curve of new customers in new markets whose primary reason to go to these locations is not for betting. It's mostly for eating and drinking.
Right.
So the take-up has been a little slower than we had hoped. We're just launching a horse racing game next week. The existing games, both football and car racing, have a max prize of $250.
Okay.
The horse racing game is going to have a max prize of $800,000.
Wow.
So we think that will drive some interest in the game. And interestingly, so that's on the retail side, and we've had a lot of great meetings while we're out here with a number of the sportsbook operators who are looking to add virtuals because it really is a very complementary product
right.
to the sports betting market. And frankly, online.
Yeah.
Online is huge. Bet365 is you know our biggest online customer, and they're doing $400 million a year
yeah.
on 17 streams of virtual sports. So we feel like we're really on the cusp here in North America, and we feel like we fit kind of in a really nice complementary fashion with the proliferation of sports betting.
Right.
So we're pretty
right.
excited about the future
right.
of it.
Well, you know, frankly, when we talked last year, I was surprised that you were actually increasing your business with the legalization of sports betting, because I thought, who wants to play virtual sports when you can play the real sports? But you explained to me the mindset of the player. Explain that again, because I think it's important.
Sure. Well, number one, when you go into a sports book, there's games on for only a certain number of hours per
right.
day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge lag where any sports book has tons of capacity
right.
and not a lot of product.
Mm-hmm.
So virtual sports fits that very well. And it really it's high frequency. So
right.
as opposed to if you're betting, you know, a football game mm-hmm. or a soccer game
right.
Where it's going to take, you know, 3 hours to see the results unless you do some
sure.
in-game betting. In virtuals, there's an event going off every, you know, 1 to 2 to 3 minutes.
Right.
So what players do a lot, obviously the mechanics are different for each, but some players will say, let me have the next 10 horse races
right.
and enjoy their meal and talk and then look almost like scratch-off tickets
sure,
where
right.
they buy it in advance and look in at the game later. Other people sit there and they may be playing slots, they may be betting sports, mm-hmm. but they're doing virtuals as well because
right.
they want kind of that instant gratification.
Right.
And I think in terms of the, you know, the graphics themselves, if you get a chance to come by our booth, since we talked the last time, we've launched basketball
mm-hmm.
and it's so incredibly realistic.
Yeah.
People really have a hard time telling the difference between a real basketball game and a virtual basketball
right.
game.
Hmm. And I think the way the sports books are evolving now, they're not the gigantic sports books you see in Vegas, although in one place in Atlantic City they built something like that.
Sure.
But it seems to be more like glorified sports bars. So you can put, you know, your machines right up there next to the small screens that people are watching the games on.
very, very true. I think you're spot on. And I think in terms of the technology as well, you know, we've had some conversations with some suppliers that have kiosks. So if someone's sitting in a sports book, whether it's a gigantic one or whether it's a smaller one, but they are there for a couple hours, us serving up the content, so they'll be betting on sports and having a virtual event go off every 2 minutes, just keeps players engaged.
Sure, right.
Our sponsor this week is GLI, staging its annual North American Regulators Roundtable. The event takes place March 4th and 5th at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. GLI's Roundtable is a two-day educational conference that provides attendees with the opportunity to participate in high-level discussions with industry thought leaders and peers. Registration for GLI's Regulators Roundtable is open now. For information and registration, visit GamingLabs.com and catch the vision for 2020. Now back to our interview.
So you just launched your first VLT in the U.S. Give us the details on that.
So yeah, that's a super exciting time for us. Mm-hmm. We when I went to Inspired 18 months ago, one of the things that I think I brought to the company was some awareness of the North American market, and we are primarily a recurring revenue distributed gaming company. Mm-hmm. That's how we work in Europe, whether it's Greece, Italy, UK. That's really our sweet spot. So a multi-game where there's a fewer number of machines and a larger number of venues. So we've targeted the distributed market here, Illinois being the first market. Mm-hmm. And so we literally just went live this week in Illinois. And so to have gone from conception to delivering a product in 18 months is a pretty huge
amazing, yes.
Huge thing for our company. And the feedback at the show has been unbelievable, mm-hmm. both Illinois operators, but those, you know, the folks in Oregon, the folks in the Canadian provinces,
right.
Have taken a look at the product. And there really hasn't been a lot of innovation in that
right.
space.
No.
So we're pretty excited about the future of that product. And I would hope that when we get together next year, we'll have some really resounding
right.
results that will validate the strategy.
Sure. So you're hoping to develop root operations then in each of these jurisdictions?
So only as a B2B. So
okay.
we wouldn't be a route operator mm-hmm. ourselves,
okay.
But we'll be providing to the route markets.
Okay, I see what you mean. Okay, great. So another deal you made was with the NFL Alumni Association. Tell us how that's going to work.
Well, that's an interesting one. It came out of, it kind of goes to the power of networking. I happened to be introduced to a gentleman at a dinner who mentioned that he was the mobile application provider to the NFL Alumni Association. Mm-hmm. And I explained to him about our virtuals product and what we did. And we both kind of agreed that this really was a really interesting fit. So we went and made a pitch to the NFL Alumni Association, and they agreed to license a deal to us. So in our virtual product, where you'll see a football game going on, whereas before it would be just kind of anonymous.
Right.
Now we'll be able to put it, anybody who's been a retired player will be able to put their name and their number. Mm-hmm. It won't be the exact replica helmet or anything like that.
Yeah.
But in reality, I mean, the Pennsylvania Lottery, who's a big customer of ours, when we showed this to them,
right.
we showed a Philly versus Pittsburgh, and
sure.
we had, you know, Ron Jaworski scoring a
right.
touchdown and Terry Bradshaw throwing a touchdown to Lynn Swann.
Yeah.
And we're kind of the view that our demographics are people that will actually relate more to the retired players
sure.
than they will to the current players.
Right. Yeah.
So it's really just a way for us to be able to put a little bit more of the licensing
right.
That we've done and that we know into our virtual sports product. So we're super excited about it. We'll be going. Our plan is to be live by the Super Bowl. So and hopefully both in retail and online. So it will be an interesting test. But the nice part, honestly, it's kind of one of the appeals that it has to those in the lottery business is because they're all about providing funds to good causes.
Right.
So everyone has read about the retired players and the healthcare issues that mm-hmm. they have. So for us to have the ability to have a product that also does good things mm-hmm. for people that need some help,
right.
We're delighted and we look forward to it.
That's great. So are you in legal iGaming markets in the U.S., like New Jersey and Pennsylvania?
Yeah, we are. So everything that we do in terms of, we came, the business is, as you know, is primarily based in Europe, and real money gaming is pretty far advanced in that part of the world. So it's a core competency of our company. And when we develop any slot content, and virtual content for that matter, but when we develop slot content, it's always with an omni-channel view. We always believe that it's going to go into our retail and interactive side. So we're now live in New Jersey. We're live with Lotto Quebec. We're about to go live with BCLC. We'll go live in Pennsylvania. So it's another mechanism that we think we can leverage what we've done with our existing business and take it kind of on a broader thing. And I think, I mean, I happen to think that real money gaming is probably going to be an expansion looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
You obviously know well in New Jersey how well they're doing and how much crossover play there is between sports and slots. And I think every jurisdiction is going to look at that and say, maybe we're missing out on that.
Yeah, I've been getting some evidence from the New Jersey operators who also run sports books that there is a significant crossover from sports bettors to casino bettors who they didn't have before until they became sports bettors.
No, I think you're 100% right. And we have a lot of conversations with both FanDuel and DraftKings who interestingly come about it from a different perspective where they were sports focused or fantasy sports focused. Obviously, FanDuel owned by Flutter now, which used to be Paddy Power, but they're a huge customer of ours. And we talk to them, and it's very interesting for them to have seen how they're able to help monetize those people that came in with a proclivity for sports, but are now getting introduced to whether it's table games, whether it's slots. And I think there's a huge crossover opportunity.
Yeah, no question. And I think once states who already legalized sports betting now, and they realize, gee, we're not making that much money on sports betting, but look how much we can make on casino betting. You know, when they can bet, they can tax them in the range of 10% or something.
Well, and that's an interesting point, because one of the nice parts about our virtual sports business is it's an RTP very much like a slot machine.
Sure.
So whereas in sports betting, obviously you have risk and the margins are relatively thin, on the virtuals, not only is it complementary from a player perspective, but from the operator perspective, the margins are significantly higher.
Not much volatility here.
Right, exactly.
So let's talk about Greece. You told us last year you have a virtual monopoly there. How is that growing and also the Italy program?
Sure. Well, if I said we had a virtual monopoly in Greece last year, that's actually not right.
Okay.
So here's where we are in Greece. So it's really kind of an interesting dynamic. So there's two component parts of Greece. One is virtual sports, where we do have a monopoly.
Okay.
Our customer our customer is OPAP, which is the lottery company in Greece. So in all their betting shops, we have virtuals, and we show a number of different products, and phenomenal business for us. In the betting shops where they've and gaming halls where they've installed gaming machines, they did it in an interesting way. They had an RFP. They selected four suppliers, and they gave each supplier an equal amount and put them all in at the same time. So it was really kind of as fair a competition as you could have. And how they ended up going forward was they made decisions on how they were going to award future machine placements based on the performance of the existing business. So we were very fortunate, and we spent a lot of time studying the market and developed bespoke content for that market. And as the market has progressed, we've gotten kind of double the share of anybody else because our games have outperformed everyone else. And for us, we're relatively small compared to a Scientific Games or IGT, who are two of the competitors there. But because of our performance going head-to-head with them, we've gotten the lion's share of the growth, which is really rewarding to a relatively small company like us to be able to compete with the big guys.
Right, no question. Now, OPAP is being purchased by, the Czech Gaming Corporation?
Yeah, Saska.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that going to make any impact on what you're doing?
No, we have, interestingly enough, part of the relationship that we have with Jaromír Jágr, who was, as I said, was here at the event, is he's from the Czech Republic, and there was this connection.
Right.
So the folks that run Saska were out here this week. They're obviously very involved in the grease market and a huge customer of ours and critically important. So, yeah, it's been a nice relationship there. I'm sure you've probably read OPAP numbers because they publish them. They're growing their business dramatically. So by the end of this year, they'll have 25,000 machines, all downloadable, all content on our cabinets. We have not only our games, but we have Novomatic games. We have other suppliers. So it's really a true open platform, and the results kind of speak for themselves.
Okay. And in Italy?
So Italy is a challenging market because of taxation.
Right.
Every year they increase the taxes. Mm-hmm. Italy is a very heavily regulated market,
right.
A tough market to operate in because each concessionaire needs its own data center. So it's a tough market.
Right.
But the Italians love their gambling, and they are big players. And even with all of that, it continues to be a growing market. It's our biggest virtual sports market.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a $1.5 billion virtual sports market. But on the gaming machine basis, it's been a slightly difficult year in Italy, but we're hopeful as we're adding some new content in there that will help drive the business going forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. The advertising ban in Italy doesn't impact you that much?
Yeah, sure it does.
Yeah.
I think everybody, instead of the rising tide lifts all boats.
Right.
This has really put a damper on kind of, I think, the whole business. So everyone's impacted regardless of who this block.
Sure.
The combination of taxation and all of that has not helped.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hopeful that we'll be able to turn that part of the business around.
Okay, great. So what's next for Inspired? More acquisitions, obviously more growth.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly look at a lot of things, mm-hmm. and as I said, with the Novomatic Technology Group acquisition,
right.
It took us quite a bit of time to get that done.
Right.
We would certainly like to look at something from a geographic perspective in North America.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, we'd like to be a little bit more balanced. We're a little heavily skewed to our revenues coming out of Europe. We're obviously trying to grow the North American business
right.
organically, but we're always, Lauren and I have done this together for 25 years.
Sure.
We have a history of doing acquisitions, so we're always looking.
Great. Well, you've done a great job with Inspired. We'll get together again next year and then make sure that maybe we can get Lauren in there next year. And
that'd be great. We'd love to do it.
But, it's a very interesting company, and we're going to stay in touch and certainly report everything that comes on our way from you guys. So thanks for taking the time, and good luck for the rest of the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hope you enjoyed this week's GGV podcast, brought to you by GLI, stating its annual Regulators Roundtable this March and 5th. Hope you enjoyed this week's GGB podcast, brought to you by GLI, staging its annual Regulators Roundtable this March 4th and 5th at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. Visit GamingLabs.com for information and registration. To learn more about the wide variety of Inspired products, visit GGBMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry on your desktop every Monday morning, subscribe to GGB News at GGBNews.com. And to attract quality players to your online poker, casino, or sports betting websites, visit iGamingPlayer.com. And don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next week on the GGB podcast.